You know, I like to come in with a snappy introduction story that makes you laugh, and I've gone through a whole bunch of things like that this week, and this is just like, we're starting a new series today, but this is a transition, and it's an introduction into where I think the Lord is taking me, and so I appreciate your prayers right now and continually that I'm not telling you what I think. I really don't want to do that. I want to share what the Lord thinks. That's what I really want to do. And you see, the name of our series is The Effects of Emulation. And so those are, the only reason I use words like that is because it helps to remember the two E sounds in there, and we'll explain what that means. And don't be surprised if I change that, though, throughout the course of the next 4 or 5 weeks I anticipate this series. Because I don't know, it's just, it's been a whole flux this week. Monday, and then Tuesday, and then Thursday, it's like, what? You want me to do what? You know, it's like, so it's changed a whole bunch. I like when that happens. And today is a foundation, so it means I need to set the scene. And maybe I need to set it for me. I don't know if I'm there to help you understand or to help me fully understand how God is directing me to go in this. So listen, you know, as we sang in that chorus, and open your ears to hear, and it could be God has a word for you. It could be God gives you a word for me. So be on the lookout for those things. And you also will see, if you have a handout, I have something called a series verse. On further reflection over the last 2 days, I don't know if this will be the series verse, but it's where we're going to start today. And it is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Now, when I am preparing and something sounds really familiar, I think, God, did I preach this like a couple months ago? And then I look back and I found when we did our study in the book of Ephesians, if you were here, that was way back in 2021. And I looked to make sure I just wasn't remembering a whole sermon and just putting it down and, you know, and it's not. And here's the reason I start here. I feel like we spend a lot of time talking about the things we need to consider that need to be surrendered to God, and don't perhaps, maybe it's not spend enough time, or maybe from time to time we need to break and just think about what happens when we do. And so that's kind of the overarching sense of this transitional message from a 2 week talking about God providing. He's the great provider, and we can count on him to give us the things, and there's a way to go about that. We talked about that, and part of that was the pledge drive. And in this verse, we're kind of setting up what we normally do, and I'm moving into what I hope God is going to be doing. So number one, if you have a handout, it will start making sense now. We're getting into the point, so it'll start making a little more sense. We have a lofty command, and we can't get around that lofty command. It's actually a good command, but it is very lofty, and that is to imitate God, as he starts out at the very beginning of this passage. Imitate God. It is in command form. It's not when you feel like it, imitate God. It's imitate God. It's a command. The word, the Greek word, is mimetes. Mimic may be a word that you're familiar with that comes from that group, that Greek word, which is imitation, mimicking someone. I like comedians who can mimic other people. And in my day and age, Rich Little was really big. So all you old folks go, oh yeah, Rich Little, he was really good at imitating other people. And there are current comics that do the same thing. They're really good at getting down that voice and pattern and mannerisms often. We're called to imitate. That's the word emulate from the title of the series, The Effects of Emulation. When I mimic or when I imitate God, there are effects that happen. So this is more an expectation that helps us in the walk, that, let's be frank, is often very difficult. we have this same call echoed in 1 Peter chapter 1, which is also an echo of an Old Testament call as God gave the laws of Moses through Moses to the Israelites. So this is something that's not brand new with Paul writing the book of Ephesians. Peter wrote this in his first epistle, "But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy, for the scriptures say you must be holy because I am holy." This is the same concept. Be like me. And God says, I'm holy, be like me. And John, who we spent a lot of time with last year in our study of 1 John, recorded this in that book we studied, "Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did." So that's, again, a call. My introduction was going to be that I'm a problem solver, and I love solving problems, but sometimes it's nice to take a break from having a problem presented to you and either enjoy the fruits or whatever else. And here I wrote in my notes this morning, this is a problem-solving thing. There's the concept of who God is. There's this lofty command for us to imitate him, and there's a problem. We're nothing like him. Only an image. He gave us a spirit like him, and we are made in his image, but in our actions, in our attitudes, in our focus, in our walk, we're not anything like him. The Bible is very clear about how broken we are as we come into this world. So the lofty command to imitate, A, under that is the scope of it. So imitate in what? Can I imitate in this or that? Well, we don't get any break there. It's in everything you do. So I often talk about selecting one thing and working on that, and God doesn't expect us to be able to harness all the things that need to be brought into a likeness of him, but it does mean that everything and nothing lies outside, and we should have that kind of look to every part of our lives. And so there are three imitations that may be helpful to you. They were certainly helpful for me to draw out separately. There are the actions of imitations. So that's a call you hear a lot from the pulpit. That's a call you hear in Bible studies. That's a call when you listen to Christian YouTube videos and things like that. And that is, God is like this in his actions, so we need to be like him in those actions. He is not like us in these actions, so we need to strive to not do those actions. And that's a lot of problem solving. It's a lot of energy. It's always something that we need to have in our minds. Again, this is the work. Can I put it that way? The effort. And praise the Lord. I mean, when we fail and fall, he never is disappointed. He knows when we're going to fail and fall. And so we don't feel like that. I love that saying, don't feel like you let God down, you're not holding him up. He holds himself up. So you're not letting him down. He is with you to help you get back up and do things that you need to do. So we're in that do kind of mode, actions of imitation. The second is the mission of imitation. So we're constantly exposed to the message that I do what I do because there's a mission involved and other people need to see Jesus. And when I act like Jesus, they'll see Jesus. When I don't, then I have to explain, Jesus didn't fail you, I did. Don't look at me, look at him. And that's part of this dynamic that's constant or should be constant in some ways all the time in our lives. And the last is provision in imitation. And the only reason that occurs to me and kept bumping itself up to have its own little asterisk in the handout is that we just spent 2 weeks talking about how God is the one who is the supplier and fully reliable, and that there is a way. So we're still thinking about, okay, I'm in the kingdom, I'm making changes, and so that means giving some things up, and that means I'm missing some things, but we're given the assurance that he's going to take care of us. And that's kind of the focus we had over the last 2 weeks as we challenged people not to look at what they'd be missing in making a pledge, but in the reality that God would make up for that pledge. And so that's kind of the scope of this lofty command to imitate, to mimic, to be like him, to emulate. Actually, the word emulation it carries a great emotional desire to be like someone. It's more than just imitating. I'm going to get all his mannerisms down. It's like, I want to be like that person. I want to emulate that person. So that's what that means. The responsibility, that is, who is it that is called to imitate God? Now, we all know this. If you're a believer, you know this. And maybe if you're not a believer in hearing this, you've heard it here before, certainly, whether you've decided to take advantage of that or not. And I always will say take advantage, because whatever cost it might incur upon us to follow Jesus, the payback is like way over. It's ridiculous. Who's responsible is because it is us who are children, as Paul said in our opening passage. Because you are his dear children. So that brings us into that call to imitate God. And John, in the Gospel of John, he writes this: but to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. So we're kind of covering old ground here. We kind of all know this kind of stuff. There is a lofty command to be like him in everything we do, and all who are in the kingdom have this call upon them. Call. Command is one word to use, but it's not ever a separate word that we use, which could indicate force, because God doesn't force anything on us, but it is his desire for us to be like him. Okay, so we have in our minds what that looks like, and every one of us have a different one. And so, you know, how you grew up and your particular failings and victories, relationships you've had, just the personality you were born with and all that, you have, I'm sure, in mind a little sphere filled with certain kinds of things when somebody says we're supposed to imitate God, we're supposed to be like him. And you can identify, if you're anything like me, and I think we all have some common enough things, you can immediately identify one or two or more places where you just struggle to get it right. But you have a whole bunch of things, and hopefully increasing in your world, where you say, yeah, I have surrendered that, and I'm seeing change, and I'm seeing the image of God in me. But in this passage from Ephesians that we started out with, there is a goal clarified, or as I put it in the handout, clarified goal, number two. So that's pretty broad, like, but we'll explain a little bit more about that in a second here in a few minutes. Clarified goal. So not just what I think the goal is or the struggles I've had or the list of things, which is kind of where we're getting away from, I hope and pray. So it's defined here. It is not trying to figure out all the different things. It is one thing, really, that Paul brings to bear. Live a life, he says in verse 2, filled with love. Live a life filled with love. So we go back to the sphere we all have when we talk, what does it mean to imitate God? Well, I shouldn't do this, this, and this. I should do this, this, and this. And here Paul is saying, well, forget about that particular stuff. Let's go bigger than that. Let's go overarching than that. Let's go on the principle level. And the value of principle level is, it doesn't matter the things that pop up on the yes or no list that you have to weigh. It matters that you see the principle, and then it can be applied to whatever, whether you're thinking of it or not, going through it now or not. And so he introduces this, live a life filled with love. It is offering ourselves to others. The word love is in the agape family. There are several words from the agape root, which is giving myself for the benefit of others, different shades of that, different actions involved with that, different ways to approach that. And it changes our perspective on imitation from a list of actions to a character that somebody has. In this case, it is God's character in Jesus that we are called to imitate. So here Paul doesn't say imitate him by giving to the poor. He doesn't say imitate him by controlling the negative things that come out of your mouth. He doesn't say all that list of things. And there are plenty of lists in the Bible, and they have merit. We need to visit them. We need to pray through how we are with them. But here he's saying there is an overarching thing. Live a life of love. It modifies or simplifies, in my mind, at least right now and this week and where I think we're going in the series, our following. Makes it with fewer details. And sometimes details can hang us up. I'm a detail guy, but sometimes even for me, details hang me up and I need to see one thing, and this is this one thing. It shifts the focus from what, the list of separate things, to how, affecting all things. So I'll add a few things. I don't think that's part of it. Okay, so I got some other things. The what is, what should be done? What specific things should be done? When I'm driving and somebody cuts me off, how should I, you know, what is God's will in this thing? And it changes it to how. Whatever I do as a driver to another driver that cuts me off needs to be done in love. You see, it changes how we look at it. And sometimes we need that change. At least sometimes I need to have that change in my perspective. I have a couple of things with question marks that I'm going to throw out. Doing to being. From doing to being. There's a significant difference. Doing can be counterfeited. So we're given many stories about how Jesus walked and how he interacted with the people who didn't like him, even hated him, and even wanted to kill him, and how he responded to that. And sometimes we can get to the place where we make that list, and if we can check off enough things on the list, we can say we're like him. But this changes that thought process to being. Am I being like he is? It's a significant shift in my mind. So the clarified goal is defined by Jesus, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. That's verse 2 of Ephesians 5 that we opened up with the first half of that verse. And the second half of that verse is be demonstrated by Jesus. No declaration of truth is ever made in the Word without some kind of demonstration, whether it's by a person that God has called or God himself, in this case, Jesus. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. So this imitation is not trying to figure out a list of who God is and isn't and conforming to that in what we're talking about today. There is an element of that in our walk, but it is seeing that Jesus loved and sacrificed and it was pleasing to God. That's kind of a bonus thrown in there, but that is certainly true. And so Philippians chapter 2, again, a jail letter that for the last 2 weeks we've looked at. And so we look at that again. That is a further call, or let's say a redefined call. Paul says, imitators of Christ in Ephesians, be imitators. And here in Philippians, he gives us Jesus' journey in looking at Christ-likeness or God-likeness, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, when he showed us human beings through his life and indeed through his death and confirmed in his resurrection, which gives us all the hope of this call to mimicry or this emulation, this imitation of him. So Philippians 2, 5 through 8, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. So this imitation is imitating that character that influenced and affected everything he did. He went through life and measured everything by whether he was being loving. And the thing we need to cling to, and in the church we have the benefit of the word in this, we know what love means to God. Love does not mean that I affirm a falsehood in another human being. That's not loving. This whole issue of who I am or identity in this world, we have a gender identity problem, we have an affection identity problem in this world, and everything gets focused on who I declare I feel myself to be. We know that love is not that. That love is for the benefit of others, and the only one who knows the true benefit of others is God. So God is the only one who can define our identity. And he created us with a specific identity, and wherever we are in the spectrum, we are trying to get to his identity of us and give up our identity of ourselves, where all the trouble comes from. There's so much trouble that comes from that. So Jesus walked through this, I'm here to lead people to truth. And everything I do is going to come from that. Okay, so I still haven't gotten to the change, really. This is all just review. And if anything is new in that and startling to you, well, I don't know what to say about that, except this is what we're always doing. And so at the end of the handout, when you have a question and I ask you to consider and fill that out and, you know, evaluate, it's always along those lines of, okay, what does that mean? Whether it's aiming in general that I am loving as Jesus would love, or whether I'm in those places where I read a scripture and it says, like Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up those who believe that it may benefit those who listen. Ephesians 4:29, big in my life for a long, long time, and so I'm addressing a list and a thing and an action that needs to take place. So there's two different things going on here. So considering that list that is necessary for us to look at and this overarching truth, it is still part of the effort. And number three is what I want to get into, and that is the effect. So all of that to say the third thing, which is the effect when we are in the process and making progress, shall we say. In our imitation, we receive transformation. That's the effect. So effect means a change which is a result or consequence of an action or other cause. In my mind, we are shifting from external things to something internal. The external things we know we need to exercise our self-control, and, well, let's talk about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians, right? Peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, kindness. I always miss a few. Something in self-control. Anyway, from the outside, we're looking at that, and I have a will, and I have to exert my will in a godly direction and not in an ungodly direction. And I have to pull that will away from the ungodly, and I need to put it over here in the godly. But this is the effect that I want us for the next at least 4 weeks, and that might depend on your contribution if there are certain areas that you want to hear about. We are being transformed in an inner consequence way instead of, you know, when you don't put your hand in the fire, you don't get burned. So that's outward still. The burn is on the outward. It's something going on inside of us that we're not really aiming to, but we can know is a positive consequence of what we're doing. Anybody confused with that? Did you raise your hand? If you want to call me later and we could sit down and have a little talk, that'd be fine. I'm a little confused too. Just so you know, I'm a little confused too. Sometimes God does that. But the way Paul, boy, we're in Paul a lot today, aren't we? The way Paul states it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 captures as much as can be captured today this truth. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. So you see, there's two things going on here. The image I'm gaining through what I know is in the change of my mind from ungodly to godly. But there's this thing going on in my nature and in my spirit that isn't a list of things that adds up. It's a consequence of saying, I'm going to imitate Christ. I'm going to endeavor to live this life of love, and I'm going to apply this everywhere I can and count on God to show me where I mess up and get better at it. We are being remade into his glorious image. So instead of a list of things to challenge, so, you know, how are you treating your spouse, or are you honest when you fill out your tax forms? It's coming. We got a tax professional over here, so, you know, don't slip anything by. No. And addressing the issues, which most of the messages, most of the series, they're about that, seeing the reality of where I'm living and seeing how God lived. And, oh, man, that's not right. I gotta make changes, and I need to enlist the help of the family. I say that often because we don't do that on our own. But here I want us to enjoy for the next few weeks looking at what happens to us and just going, hey, this is coming because I'm trying to be obedient. Not trying to figure out how to be obedient. We'll get back to that. We can't help it. The Bible is so full of that, and it's so important to us. But we're going to take, it's not really a break. It's a shift in focus, and we're going to talk about the results of obedience. And the Bible talks about things that will happen in us. I wonder if any of these things are attractive to you. We are a happier people when we're striving to be like Jesus. And we're going to talk about that. We are healthier, physically healthier people when we strive to imitate God. Because when we strive, we succeed. Okay, so I don't know if I said that, but he honors that and leads us along. We have better relationships both with those who know Jesus and share that commonality and with those who don't. When we're following him, we can expect those relationships to get better. We'll talk about how they get better and the look of that getting better from what the Word shows us. We are more influential. Let me put a caveat on that. We're not here to be popular, influential, and be a influencer. When did that start? An online influencer. I mean, what? I don't know, man. Anyway, sorry. A little myself peeking through there. I have in parentheses for Jesus because that's going to be a part of all of that influence, and you'll find more influence, more positive. Let's just say it this way: more positive influence, though there are negatives to it as well, with people who are against the kingdom of God. You will be more grateful as you start doing that and seeing how God works. Those are the topics I have now. I am open to any topics that occur to you that you might want me to include. So you can shoot me an email, heypastordude@hotmail.com, or you can call or text. My phone number, I think, is on the bulletin somewhere. And the reason why I think this is important in our walk is the A and B that's still left on your handout. A is inspirational truth. Sometimes we need a break from the hard work of transformation that we're called to in Romans 12, 1 and 2, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's all action and effort. To the inspiration of knowing this is going to happen when I do that. It hasn't yet, or I've tasted it. You've probably all tasted it. If you've walked with the Lord at any time, something positive is different in the way you are, just in the way you are, and more of that will happen in the way you are. And the reason why I think this is so important, so I go through my own life and my own journey, not only the past journey, but what I presently wrestle with. I wrestle, you wrestle, everybody wrestles in this world, and I think, man, I am so tired of trying to do this. I just need to think about what's coming. And these are promises. This is an effort or an effect, our title, The Effects of Emulation. As we follow him, I can know it, and it's inspiring when it hasn't happened yet. Because sometimes it takes a long time to develop these categories, and things are tough in our world. And the second B, it's also an appraisal tool. We need that all the time. We can, you know, we can fool ourselves, and sometimes we need some concrete things to look at and say, am I happier? I think I'm following. I'm not happier. And we'll qualify what each of these terms mean, because we have a definition of what each of those might mean, and we probably are partly wrong and partly right. And I need to look and see, and sometimes that helps me say, well, what am I leaving out? Where am I not loving? Because there must be something to the reason that I'm not seeing more of this. Those things can be true at the same time, and I'm hoping that the next few weeks will inspire you in your following. Because sometimes it's foot after foot, and you need help dragging the back one. And in those times, especially in those times, a little bit of inspiration can go a long way. And God, the very word inspire, is the concept of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an inspiration. And I'm praying that this will help us. So I'm asking for you to pray in the development of this. It is really interesting how God works in the office, in front of the computer, and I cherish those things. And finally, at the end, there's a my how. What's behind how I live? So that harkens back to the clarified goal, point number two. Instead of all this list of do's and don'ts, which have their place, is this overarching theme of love. Am I loving? My how? What's behind how I live? Doing the right thing that causes a negative result to you or others is not unloving. Let me just say that. Sometimes we need to be reminded, and we think loving things are only things that make everybody feel good. That is nonsense. How are you in loving as Jesus loved, looking at the relationships you have and the things that you're going through? That is really the highest imitation goal, that in everything I can be loving like Christ. So there's something for you to do, and the extra thing is you better be praying for me this week. I expect to. We'll find out next Sunday if you did. So let's stand together. I'm going to pray. Band will come up. We'll dismiss with the doxology. But don't turn away from this concept of where am I right now in this call to be like Jesus in loving in a way that is all involved with giving up who I am for the sake of others. And of course, that's God for the sake of Him and for the sake of one another's. Let's pray. Lord, I'm glad I can say I'm not sure where you're going. I like this idea. I pray you'd give me clarity in bringing it out in a way that truly does inspire us to follow you. I pray also that this concept that the things that can change in our life are available to anyone in this life. We think of those who already walk with you and how the journey can sometimes be wearing, and we need this inspiration. But I think of those who haven't yet walked with you, and there's all this discord, the wars, global wars, but there are also personal wars. There's disasters in the world, and there's personal disasters. And there are people who are going through all those things only on their own, imitating the last person they saw on the screen or the last voice they heard in a podcast, and they don't know about you, or don't know you at least personally, that you're here in this call that we call a command from your word to imitate you, to come into love, to bring everything in our world under this perspective that you love us, so we love you and everyone you created, and we want to bless them with your truth. And that when we are pursuing that, you change us on the inside and bring things that are better. And they're on their way, or they're in the midst of coming true in us. And we need to be excited, and we need that extra thing to take us across through the hardship. So, Lord, open doors today. Open doors to people to come to you for the first time and say, I don't want to do this on my own anymore, and I don't want to copy other people. I want to follow you. And you would help them begin following you, and that you'd help us surround them or another group of believers and followers of Jesus to surround them and help them in this journey. But with us, Lord, that you would cultivate inspiration at what you're doing. We're not your factory workers working on a line, sweating to get the product out. We're walking with you. And your arm around us is something to expect and to be excited about and to be inspired by. So unfold this as you know suits each of us best. Help us to be vocal with our questions and see the fullness that you have in store for us. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.